Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And this week on the Screen Verdict podcast, comes around once a year.
Yeah.
We review a little show known as the Emmys.
Well, we don't review the Emmys because they haven't happened yet. We review the shows nominated for the Emmys.
We review the nominees in preparation for the Emmys. Because after the show, no one really cares about the show.
No, well, just people complain and that's about it.
So we're going to take a look at the nominees, talk about some of our favourites, and maybe give a few predictions on who's going to win on the night.
And just like last year, we've got a very special guest for our Emmys podcast.
Ooh.
The guy who's written the book on the Emmys, the guy who runs the website goldderby.com, Tom O'Neill. G'day, Tom.
Hey. Happy to be here, Matt. Jonathan.
Yeah. And you've literally written the book on the Emmys. That wasn't a turn of phrase.
Yes, I'm the only definitive history of the Emmys and of the Grammys and the Golden Globes, so that's what I do, yeah.
I'm holding the book right now, but this isn't a video, so...
Just shake it around a bit so people... It's a hefty
book. It's a heavy book, listen to this.
Yeah. Tom's obviously tried.
But please return it to its shrine when you're done and dust it off.
Put out next to the moon.
And keep the votive candle lit in front of
it. Yeah, I'll keep it at bay in case we need it for reference. Okay, so...
Did you steal that from the library?
I got it on eBay, and yeah, it's from the Arafo Library District.
I just saw the barcode, and I was like, did you just take that and never give it back?
Yeah, it's... So some library was selling this on eBay. Should we have a look to see how many people have borrowed this?
Matt clearly wasn't prepared to pay full price for your book, Tom.
That's right.
Okay, so there we go. It still works. It still works. Anyway, by the way, news for the Emmys this year, Neil Patrick Harris hosting. What do you think about that, Jonathan?
I like Neil Patrick Harris, and I think he has the sort of flamboyance, the flair, in order to host the show.
Tom, what do you think?
Yeah, and I like what Jonathan just said. He has the flair. He's not only a good MC, the kind of host that moves the show along, he's a part of it. He's entertaining. And he'll dangle from a rope upside down while doing the Tonys. He'll come crashing through sets and sing and song and dance. He can handle it all, so he always delivers a great show.
He's the triple threat. Sing, dance, act. And yeah, he was very good. He hosted 4 years ago, the last time CBS were doing the Emmys, and I think he did a great job. I think Jimmy Fallon the next year did a great job too. And it was sort of the last 2 years been waiting for Neil Patrick Harris to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start by talking. We're going to go through as many races as we can, and we're going to start off by talking about the comedy supporting races. So I'm just going to run us through who the nominees are. Should probably be open up on the comedy acting page rather than the drama acting page that I'm looking at. Okay, good. So here's the comedy supporting actor and actress nominees. See if you can tell me, Jonathan, anything that that strikes you from looking at these names. Comedy supporting actor, we've got Ty Burrell from Modern Family, Adam Driver from Girls, Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family, Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live, Tony Hale from Veep, and Ed O'Neill from Modern Family. Comedy supporting actress, we've got Mia Bjork, I've not said that right, The Fish from The Big Bang Theory, Julie Bowen from Modern Family, Anna Klumsky from Veep, Jane Krakowski from 30 Rock, Jane Lynch from Glee, Sofia Vergara, Modern Family, and Merritt Weaver, Nurse Jackie.
See, I like what you've done there. You said a Modern Family actor and then something other than Modern Family in order to trick me into thinking that the entire category wasn't Modern Family, but then you came back to Modern Family again and again and again.
Yeah.
A little Modern Family heavy, which, as not a huge fan of the show, I guess I'm not pleased with. I guess what's jumping out at me from the actor side, Tony Hale from Veep. Loved him on Arrested Development, love him on Veep. That's a clear favourite jumping off the page.
Yeah. Do we think, Tom, Tony Hale from Veep could have this in the bag? He's a clear favourite for Jonathan.
Wrong answer.
Oh,
you can't get around Modern Family in this race. They have won it every year that the show's been around, and they win it for a very peculiar reason that has to do with how Emmy voting is conducted, which is, remember, there are about 70 actors who are looking at a sample episode submitted by the nominee as an example of their best work. So they're watching one per nominee. There are 70 judges watching six episodes, and that means with three Modern Family nominees in this race, they're watching these performers, in some cases, three times. In other words, Ed O'Neill may have a strong presence on Ty Burrell and Jesse Tyler Ferguson's episode and vice versa. When you take that into account and look at the episodes, then it looks like Ty Burrell is out front and Ed O'Neill is in a close second place. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, well, I agree. I think I saw the episodes. Ty Burrell is pretty funny. Matthew Broderick thinks he's gay, and they have a bit of a man date, but Ty Burrell just thinks it's just two guys hanging out. So that's sort of a pretty funny situation. Yeah, so I think Ty Burrell's out in front. I think it's going to be hard to get around those Modern Family guys. I think if anyone does do it, it could be Tony Hale. He's pretty funny. He's pretty likable. He's got an episode where he gets sort of really excited that the vice president's going to come to his family dinner or for his parents' thing, and then she lets him down at the end. So he's pretty sympathetic. You want to give him a hug. Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live, I think.
They don't seem to like these variety show performances in this category, do they, historically?
No, they don't. They've given a lot of guest acting awards, like to Tina Fey and Justin Timberlake, but not many to Bill Hader or Amy Poehler or the ones who were nominated in the supporting races. So, yeah, I think he's out. And Adam Driver from Girls, I think.
Can a non-girl win an Emmy for Girls?
Well, that'd be interesting.
The girls themselves can't win, so what makes you think the boys can?
Yeah.
Well, I actually like Adam on the show. I'm not the biggest Girls fan, but I quite like Adam. So I wouldn't mind seeing that upset Modern Family.
Yeah, there's something just darkly mysterious and all that about him that works, slightly menacing. And when we spoke to him, by the way, at Gold Derby and interviewed him, he had no idea what we're talking about. When you discuss that creepiness of his character that makes it so interesting, he doesn't get it, which of course tells us that the creepiness is inside him as an actor. That's what we're responding to. And it's so normal to him, he doesn't observe it. But that's another matter. He is really, I think, one of the great things about the show.
Adam Driver is just like, I just rock up and be me.
Yeah,
like, I don't know what's happening.
Maybe he doesn't deserve the award then. Maybe he's just a creep.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be giving awards to creeps, Matt.
Yeah. Will he make the opposition get on all fours at the Emmys?
Ooh.
What about the supporting actress race, Jonathan? What are you liking here?
I'm a big fan of Veep and 30 Rock, so I'm liking... Is it Klumsky or Chlumsky?
I actually spoke to Anna Klumsky this year with Gold Derby, and I start off by going, Anna Klumsky, thanks for joining us. That's how you pronounce your name, right? And she said, no, it's actually Klumsky, but that's okay. So from her, it's Klumsky.
Well, I'm glad I checked with you.
Screwing up in front of an international audience for Gold Derby, embarrassing us to all of Holland. Yeah. Good job.
Yeah. So when I spoke to someone for a Game of Thrones and I got a character name wrong, I got mutilated on the YouTube
the comments. Fired.
People were very upset.
Of course. Jesus.
They're passionate, the Game of Thrones fans.
Well, yes, absolutely. I'm glad I got it wrong in front of you instead of the actress herself.
Yes.
Anna Klumsky and Jane Krakowski, I think my favourite would be Anna Klumsky. I think she gives a really interesting... It's kind of dry. She's one of the less zany characters, I guess, on the show. But just her timing and the dry delivery, I think, is really, really funny.
Tom, what do you think?
I'm going for the upset. I'm going for Jane Krakowski here.
Ooh.
And I think the reason is to do with, you know, the longest episode usually wins. And what she did is wisely submit the finale of 30 Rock. And in that episode, or those two episodes thrown together, what is remarkable is that she gets so much face time and so much range as a performer. She even has a fantastic song number she does and then reprises it at the end of the finale. And she actually upstages Tina Fey in the finale of 30 Rock. that, and Tina Fey is wonderful in the show. But it's really impressive when you watch it, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah, no, she's great in the final, and I do agree she's even a bit more funny in things than Tina Fey. The thing is, she's not, like, her scenes are very brief. She's in, like, one-minute scenes. But I'm still going with her, too. I think my favourite would be Klumsky as well, but Jane Krakowski, close behind, and I think she's got the tape to win it. But then you got that sneaky Julie Bowen.
That bitch always wins. Can we just lock her out of the Nokia Theater and say, no more for you, bitch, go home.
Yeah. This, Jonathan, what do you think? Julie Bowen from Modern Family, is this a three-time Emmy-winning performance that she gives to Modern Family?
I'm going to answer for you, Jonathan, no. Now you explain.
Well, is the fact that there's seven people in the category this year, is that spreading out the vote and actually helping her? Or is it giving us more options, an excuse to not give it to Julie Bowen?
There you go. Good question.
Yeah, very good question. We'll find out at Emmy night. We'll find out on Emmy night. So what are our final predictions for this category?
I'm going for Jane Krakowski.
Krakowski. And with the actor one, you were going with Ty Burrell, Tom?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go. John, what are you doing?
I will predict Adam Driver and Anna Klumsky.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a daredevil.
Are they your predictions?
Yeah.
Okay. I like it bold. I'm going to go Ty Burrell and Jane Krakowski as well. Yeah. I'm copying Tom. Okay. Let's
only stealing mine. Yeah. Everyone take note.
Well, and the next. I do just want to say these categories a bit Arrested Development light.
I think you'll find many categories Arrested Development light, Matt.
Okay.
I'll save my tears for later.
Okay. So drama supporting actor now. I'll give my predictions before you this time, Tom. So I'm not accused of copying you for all of them. Drama supporting actor. Well, this is actually quite interesting, because for drama supporting actor and actress, we've got, like, a lot of shows doubling up. So for supporting actor, we've got Jonathan Banks and Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad, both nominated, and then on the actress side, Anna Gunn, nominated for Breaking Bad. Downton Abbey, we've got Jim Carter nominated for drama supporting actor, and Maggie Smith nominated for supporting actress. We've got, for Game of Thrones, we've got Peter Dinklage nominated for supporting actor. We've got, and who else do we have? We've got Emilia Clarke nominated for supporting actress. For Homeland, we've got Mandy Patinkin nominated for supporting actor. And we've got Monica Baccarin nominated for supporting actress. And then just making it up, we've got Bobby Cannavale on the actor side. And we've got Christina Baranski from The Good Wife, and Christina Hendricks from Mad Men on the supporting actress side. Jonathan, looking at all these names, all these nominees, what jumps out to you?
Well, I'm a pretty big Breaking Bad fan. So in the actor side, I'm looking at Jonathan Banks and Aaron Paul. Aaron Paul won once before, is that right?
Twice.
Twice before?
Yeah.
Okay. So they know they like him in this category. Do they like Breaking Bad in this category? Are they maybe going to perhaps reward Banks here? Because I know a lot of people are a big fan of Mike on the show.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, Giancarlo Esposito, who played Gus, was nominated last year.
Mm.
And a lot of people thought he was going to win, but he got Aaron Pauled. So
is Banks going to get Pauled?
Yeah, that's a good question. Tom, what do you think about the state of Breaking Bad in this category?
Well, it comes down to, I think, you have to decide whether the tapes matter or not, the episodes that we're talking about here. We still call them the tapes from the days when they were VHS tapes. And if you buy that, you really believe that the judge just watched that and then make their determinations, then you have to say for supporting actress, for example, that Anna Gunn has this in the bag because her episode is such a standout. But if you think they just go by buzz and coolness and all of that, then Maggie Smith has got to be your choice there because, quite frankly, she's never lost. She won last year for this role, and 2 years ago when Downton Abbey competed in the movie mini race, she won there. So I think it's between those two, and I would like to think that the episode really matters. And so this year, Anna Gunn will get it. And when you look over supporting drama actor, the strongest episode is actually from Mandy Patinkin, and that is my prediction as of now. I may change it. I may change it to Aaron Paul, because remember, Paul and Jonathan Banks have the advantage of having two episodes here where they, and what happens as a result of that is Aaron Paul has a good performance on Jonathan's tape, where Jonathan doesn't seem to benefit much from Paul. So the question is, you know, how much of a factor that will be. I'm saying Patinkin now, but, you know, I just spoke yesterday to some of the editors over at Entertainment Weekly, and they're saying they're actually talking to voters, you know, recording their votes, and they're hearing so much actual voter love for Breaking Bad that we could even see him, meaning Bryan Cranston, beat Damian Lewis, which would be amazing. But that said, I'm tempted to switch to Aaron Paul, but I'm right now going for Patinkin. What do you say?
Yeah, look, Aaron Paul, like, I don't remember Aaron Paul being that good, being given that much to do in this sort of season of Breaking Bad. Then I looked at the tapes and was quite impressed with the scenes that he had in both of them. So I definitely could see people getting Aaron Paul'd again. Reel back Tom, though. It's saying, like, Maggie Smith's the cool buzz choice in the supporting actress category.
1952.
Well, she's not cool and all that, and sexy in the sense of an Amelia Clark.
Yeah, but I would say she's the cool buzz one, Tom.
I know. You just lust after Amelia Clark. Let's get that out of the way right now.
Yeah, I think
and Academy members would never do that.
No way.
Yeah.
They lost after Maggie Smith.
She's more their type than Maggie Smith, right? Over Amelia Clark.
Right. Exactly.
Other thing, like, it's going to be interesting because I think Aaron Paul, he's won before. He's very good. Jonathan Banks, he gets to die. Are we spoiling? Are we not spoiling?
Absolutely. Yeah. Spoil away. Yeah,
thanks, Tom.
A year ago, for Christ's sake.
He gets to die. That always carries a bit of impact with it. I think he's sort of an older veteran actor, the type that they like to reward here. I think we could be seeing some Jonathan Banks love. What do you think? Anna Gunn, she's got the great tape. She's going strong. You must be pretty excited, Jonathan, at the prospect of Anna Gunn winning. It was Skylar White winning an Emmy.
Well, I've not been the biggest fan of Skylar on the show, but I think, is this the shut up episode?
I think it is. I think it's the one where she jumps in the pool and she...
Because I can't stand Skylar, and I haven't been rooting for her in previous seasons, but if she wins an Emmy for that shut up scene, I am perfectly happy with that.
Oh, there we go. Well, maybe Jonathan really doesn't like Skylar, so the fact that he's happy with her winning an Emmy might mean that this is a very strong tape. This could be good news. For whatever her name is, Anna Gunn. I spoke to Anna Gunn. And it came up that she's got quite a polarizing character that a lot of fans don't like. She sort of brought it up, and I used that as an opening to probe a bit into how she felt about this. And Jonathan, she found it really hard. You're like, people like you were hurting her feelings. Like, lay off her.
Well, really, knock it off, bastard.
Yeah.
Well, people other than me have started some a lot more offensive Facebook fan pages than I have, so, yeah. So I think she has other people to worry about.
Yeah. So, okay, Tom, what do you think? Amelia Clark, does she have any chance? Does Daenerys Targaryen have any chance of winning an Emmy this year?
Give me a break. No way. What do you think?
I think maybe she frees the slaves. She's got a big slave freeing scene. She's the hero. She's the hero of her tape. The problem
is, this is the mystery too, and we saw it in this category a few years ago. How the hell did Katherine Heigl win? How the hell did Archie Panjabi win? Both of them in this category, and they really won a beauty contest when you look back at it, and that has forces us to do some more Emmy theorizing and think, well, wait a minute, maybe the tapes don't matter, and there is a little bit of the babe factor at the Emmys, just like we see at the Oscars, where usually, of course, the prettiest, most bangable babe in the lineup wins. So if we could see that there's sometimes a babe factor here, then maybe Amelia could be the babe.
Yeah, and like now I don't remember any of these. Catherine Heigl, what did she do? She saved a deer or something in her tape, like something like that.
The stakes were high, man.
The stakes were high. I feel like saving a deer and saving like I don't know 8,000 slaves. Like surely, more of a hero move from Amelia Clark.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see. I'd just say Monica Baccarin is also someone to watch in the supporting actress race. She's got a pretty good tape. She gives some speech about I don't know. Brody or something. So anyway, let's move to the lead category.
Give our predictions.
Oh, well, Jonathan, do you want to give yours first then?
Well, I really like Bonnie Carnival, but I don't think they really care that much about Boardwalk. I love Peter Dinklage, but I don't think this is a stronger season. I hate Downton. I think what's his face in Homeland is really weak. I think this is clearly a Breaking Bad race, and I'm going to go with Jonathan Banks. An actress. Marina Baccarin in Homeland, lame. Christine Bransky, whatever. Amelia Clark, I'm a big fan of, but I don't think Game of Thrones has enough support. I really like Christina Hendricks, but this isn't Mad Men's year. Hate Downton. So I'm going to go again with Breaking Bad and Anna Gunn.
Oh, a Breaking Bad double from Jonathan. Well, I'm going to go with Jonathan Banks too. And I'm not sure if I'm doing this my gold derby predictions, Tom. But I think Scream Verdicts is as good a place as any to throw my weight behind Amelia Clark. So I'm going to pick Amelia Clark. I think I'm sticking with Anna Gunn at gold derby, though. Right? I'll go with Amelia Clark here. Tom, what are you going with?
Well, as we're speaking, I'm changing my prediction at gold derby right now. I'm booting out Mandy Patinkin and I'm moving Aaron Paul up to first.
Whoa. So... there we go.
You forced me out on a limb here.
So no, Tom might not come back on the podcast next year if Mandy Patinkin wins.
And ream both of you.
Okay, let's go to the lead categories because that's what we're interested in. We're interested in the supporting races too. But let's tackle comedy lead actor. Look at these nominees, and it's a real wealth of talent on the comedy actor side. We've got Alec Baldwin from 30 Rock, Jason Bateman from Arrested Development, Louis C.K. from Louis, Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory, and then you got Don Cheadle from House of Lies and Matt LeBlanc from Episodes.
I like how you separated those. It's like, you've got some real contenders, and then there's Don Cheadle and Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah, pretty much. What do you think about these guys, Tom?
Well, first of all, we shouldn't write off Cheadle. He just won the Golden Globe, and he is the kind of dramatic performance in this group. And very often they go for drama in the comedy categories, of course. But that said, I do agree that Matt LeBlanc, Don Cheadle, and Jason Bateman are at the bottom of the heap here. I would put Alec Baldwin down there, too. He could have chosen the finale. What a fool he didn't. He chose this other garbage for his episode. So I think it's between Louis C.K. and Jim Parsons. And while it's very rare that stand-up comedians win here, Louis C.K. submitted the Parker Posey episode where he's picking up this chick at a bookstore that he hopes is very, will please his daughters. And it's a wonderful piece of acting because he gets this final little speech where he asks Parker Posey out in the end of it. That's very touching and very dramatic and gripping. And I think that will bring Louis C.K. home the win. But Parsons has won here twice before. There's a lot of love for him. I put him in second place.
Jonathan, what do you think about the Louis C.K. bookstore scene? Was that one that works for you?
I really wish I liked Louis. Louis is such a cool show. It has quite a unique feel. I'm sort of on board with getting all those kind of things early, the buzz that it's like, oh no, doesn't have to necessarily be that laugh funny. It's got these other qualities to it. But Louis just doesn't hit for me. It's just not funny. And it doesn't say anything about anything. It's just depressing for the sake of being depressing. In terms of that particular scene, I could see how people relate to it and like that scene. I just wanted him to shut up. I just thought, you're already in. All you're doing is just making it worse for yourself. You just seem very... what's the word? Anyway, just stop putting yourself down because it's trying to make yourself look so, like, as if you're not selfish and whatever. You're just a terrible guy. Just shut up, Louis.
I like the scene because he sort of said, like, everything that would be going through my head when asking a girl out. Like, just everything that I would think about saying but not say. So I quite like that. However, I would imagine the older members in the Academy perhaps relate to it even more because it's a similar demographic and things. Like, I think that was a good scene. I think that was quite a good scene. I think
it's just a rich and fat guy that complains about being rich and fat all the time. What does Louis C.K. have to be so sad about? Cheer up, Louis.
I know.
He's a bit sad. Yeah. I definitely don't think it's a heaps funny show.
He's going to win, though. That, I'm actually predicting him.
Oh, you are? Okay, I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, I think he'll probably win, too. I think his biggest competition is Jim Parsons. Oh, wait, am I predicting Jim Parsons? I can't remember what I'm predicting. But Jim Parsons in The Big Bang Theory, he's won twice before. Emmy criminal charged with robbing Steve Carell of his last shot of an Emmy. So I'm a bit still bitter at Jim Parsons over that. What do you think? Jim Parsons got a shot here, Tom?
Yeah, he's got a shot. I think it's very close. But I'm going with the emotional punch. See, they love Louis C.K. so much. Last year they gave him more Emmy nominations than anyone else in history. He had 7. And this year he set another new record. He increased that record of one person getting the most in the solo year. He increased that to 9. That's how much they love this guy. So also it's one of the few shows that's nominated for writing or the crafts, acting, best show. So yeah, I think that gives him the edge.
If only Louis had done 11 things on TV this year, he would have gotten 11 nominations.
Yeah, and he won last year for writing. So Lena Dunham got nominated in almost as many fields last year and didn't win anything. So, but Louis, they're looking for reasons to reward him because he is the Academy. The Academy is made up of older, fat, dudes who operate on the fringe of show business, just like his character. They feel like losers, and they're all hitting on chicks. A lot younger than they are and totally inappropriate for them. Mm. Louis C.K. never hits on some fat woman his own age, with hair thinning problems. No, he goes for the hot chicks and he suffers the consequences as well he should. Mm.
Yeah. But who would you vote for, Jonathan? Are you voting in this category?
Alec Baldwin and Jason Bateman are easily my favorite, but Jason Bateman's episode, he's a little bit unlikable in it, which I think hurts him. And I think this season of Arrested Development, it's hard to view any one episode on its own.
Mm.
Like, I don't think anything that is really that strong on its own is kind of works best as a piece, which doesn't really suit the Emmy voting. And Alec Baldwin didn't submit the finale. What was he thinking? That was an amazing episode.
I actually was.
Does Alec Baldwin not want to win?
Maybe.
They don't think of this stuff, and he's such an oddball firebrand asshole, quite frankly, that his own people can't discuss it with him. He storms out of meetings. He's a notorious hothead. He doesn't even have a mainstream PR person for repping his himself anymore. He didn't ask the right people what he could do, and no one's about to interfere with him because he'll only just go crazy.
I wouldn't have submitted the finale if I was Alec Baldwin.
Whoa.
I would have submitted the one where his mum dies. And he gives
That's this one.
What do you mean that's the one?
That's this one, he said.
No, that's not the one where his mum dies. Where he gives the big eulogy scene.
Oh, actually, after she says she
dies. Yeah, sorry.
Dies in the carriage.
Okay. Yes.
That's what he submitted.
Sorry, I mean the one where he gives the big eulogy. He doesn't give the eulogy in this episode, does he?
Is that because you want to give the Emmy to Alec Baldwin, or is that because the Emmy to Kermit?
No, I thought the one he submitted was the one where he gives Kenneth 30 Rock.
Yes, that is. That's true.
Yeah. So that was a Kenneth heavy episode. He gave one which is very Kenneth heavy. I think the one he should have gone with was the one where he gives the big eulogy to his mum. But you are right, Jonathan. Maybe Kermit the Frog was tipping me over the edge for that one. Okay. So, Matt LeBlanc, John Cheadle. Great job, guys. I disagree with you, Tom. I don't think Don Cheadle could win. I think the Globes love giving it to those Showtime guys. They gave it to David Duchovny. They gave it to Matt LeBlanc. There's like giving it to those Showtime dramedies. I don't think the Emmys reflect that at all.
Okay.
So Tom and I are predicting Louis. Who are you predicting?
Oh, yeah, Louis. Yeah, let's go, Louis.
Three-peat for someone that I don't think any of us are even that passionate about.
Yeah, I guess. I'm passionate about Jim Parsons not winning a third. let's go drama lead actress. This is a bit of an interesting race. We've got Connie Britton from Nashville, Claire Danes from Homeland, Michelle Dockery, Downton Abbey, Vera Farmiga, Bates Motel, Elizabeth Moss, Mad Men, Kerry Washington, Scandal, and Robin Wright, House of Cards. Jonathan, opinions on this lineup?
This is a category I guess I'm not that familiar with because I haven't actually watched much Nashville, Bates Hotel, or Scandal. I hate Downton, though. I like Mad Men and I like House of Cards. I think of those, perhaps Robin Wright is the strongest. She's quite an interesting character. She's a very strong character. Not necessarily that likable, but she's, I don't know, she has something about her. She's pretty interesting to watch. And this is it's only the first season, but it seems to me that the Emmys like House of Cards.
Tom?
She doesn't have a chance. She's in last place. Get over. Wrong. No, she doesn't do any emoting at all, Jonathan, in her episode, so she can't possibly win. She's not doing anything. This is a really interesting race because I think only three actresses have a chance here, and one of them may surprise you. And that is it's Claire Danes, Vera Farmiga, and Kerry Washington. They're the three who are ahead here, based on the strength of the episodes submitted. And Claire Danes submitted the Q&A interrogation episode of Homeland, the same that was submitted by Damian Lewis. It's very powerful. She breaks down and she gets him to confess to being a terrorist. And she appeals to his heart, to their love affair and all this. The problem with it is that it's more of a showcase for him than her, quite frankly. And she doesn't really come alive in the episode till like halfway through it. Kerry Washington is the hot, cool chick here. Going back to our babe factor discussion a few minutes ago, Kerry's the ultimate babe. She's cool. She's a sexy star. She's having a lot of sex in this episode, too.
Ooh.
It's called Happy Birthday, Mr. President. Kerry Washington. She's screwing and carrying on all over the place here. Very, very sexy. A lot of emoting going on. I know it's a trashy show, but no African-American has ever won this category for Best Drama Actress. It would be historic. She's only the fifth to be nominated. So I could see her winning. She's certainly got the cool factor, and there's a lot of love for her out there. The big surprise here, and the one I'm predicting, is Vera Farmiga. Now, I was so hooked by Bates Motel after watching just the pilot, which she submitted, that it carried me through the whole season. I was hooked, and it's brilliantly compelling television. And as we found at Gold Derby by having our editors watch these episodes, people like Chris Beecham is a good example, Boomer, our senior editor. And he didn't give this nominee a chance at all. And then his comment was after watching it, oh my God, not only is her performance magnificent, but the episode is so interesting and compelling. If the voters actually sit down and watch these episodes, I think they're going to be so magnificently surprised by the Bates Motel experience that they're going to go for her. And I know that's a real wild card, but what do you think about that, Matt?
Yeah, I think it's probably her versus Danes. I guess we hopefully do live in a world where even an African-American actress can win an Emmy for a trashy show. I think she could be a bit out of it. I think the show probably doesn't hit the Emmy demos that it would be hoping to. Those who say Emilia Clarke, maybe all that sex is going to pay off for her. Yeah, I'm probably going to sit with Claire Danes. I think it's somewhere far. I think there's still a lot of love for Homeland in the Academy. I think it's a really strong tape. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see this Vera Farmiga. I'm so bad at pronouncing names.
I told you this. You put N's everywhere. It's not Farmiga, it's Farmiga.
Okay. Vera Farmiga. I think this is Vera's good shot here. I think Vera's got a good shot here.
Vera who? There's so many Veras in the category.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I think she's got a good shot. We'll see what happens. I think Robin Wright, maybe she could win it if it was like, I don't know, coldest performance, like iciest character.
Well, I think I like it because it's the opposite of Claire Danes. I forgot to mention Claire Danes, who is probably a factor in the race. I feel like she just tries harder and harder every episode. Like, she's gone past the tipping point of it being really dramatic to just way overacting. I find it a little bit annoying these days. And so to counterbalance that with the corpse that is Robin Wright, I feel like could be a good way to go.
You know what Claire doesn't have going for her this year is she's not crazy in her episode. Remember last year she was off her meds and she was up, down, around. She was, you know, emotionally all over the place. Here she's emotionally stable, just intense in the Q&A scene. So I don't think it has the full range that last year's did, but it's pretty good. It's tight. What I love, I hope you caught the subtlety of Matt's comment, Jonathan, where he said, basically in the most polite way that he could, dismissing my suggestion that Kerry Washington is even a player here. He said it's between Claire and Vera Farminga. But sorry, let me correct Matt, who's corrected me. It's between Claire and Vera and Kerry, and it's close.
Yeah, I could see that. I've not seen the show, but people are passionate about this show.
I'll be honest. I spoke to a few people from Scandal, particularly this president guy, this Tony Goldwyn. Was it Goldwyn or Goodwin?
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, Goldwyn. Huh?
Yeah, I spoke to him, and I was very surprised how many people watched that. Because I don't know much about Scandal. It hasn't really taken off in Australia like it has in America. So no one's talking about it here. And I thought, oh, yeah, you're doing this Clash of Scandal. That'll be good. I'll watch an episode and what it's all about. And then, like, for some reason, it was, like, one of my top-watched interviews. And I was like, well, people must really like the Scandal show.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I just don't think they're Academy members. I just don't think... I just don't know. Has someone from such a trashy show ever won, like, a lead Emmy,
That's
Tom?
A great question. I'm sure they have. We have to go back and look. I'm sure you're right.
Like, you got Katherine Heigl in supporting, so they definitely
I would have been
supporting.
Much more likely to pick it if it was in supporting.
Yeah. If it was supporting, I'd go with it. But why didn't she submit herself supporting, Tom, Kerry Washington?
Well, because she's the hottest new star on TV, that's why.
Yeah, and she's clearly the lead. Her name's not Scandal, though, is it? I know a lot of these one-word shows. It's usually the name of the person, like House or Monk
Dexter.
Or Dexter. Like, but her name's not Scandal. I think Bonesy. Yeah, Bones. Yeah. Okay.
So who are you predicting, Matt?
Tom's sort of swinging me on Vera, but...
Me too.
Yeah. I think I'll go Claire Danes still. Vera reminds me a bit of Patricia Arquette from Medium. Not really a show you would have thought would win that category, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to predict it without having seen the show, just because I'm a real big fan of Vera Farmiga, and I think Claire Danes is overrated.
Okay, I'll go with Claire Danes. I'll go different to you guys. We'll see what happens. Anyway, so we got that. Okay, let's go comedy lead actress. This is a very competitive category. We've got Laura Dern, Enlightened, Lena Dunham, Girls, Edie Falco, Nurse Jackie, Tina Fey, 30 Rock, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Veep, and Amy Poehler, Parks and Recreation. Thoughts, Tom?
God, I don't know here. Again, do the tapes matter or not? If the tapes don't matter, then it's Julie Louis-Dreyfus. She's got the highest cool factor. She won last year. She won for Seinfeld, and she won for New Adventures of Old Christine. She just keeps winning. And her episode's pretty good. It's the one where she gets looped on St. John's wort and some happy pills, the same episode that Tony Hale submitted that you talked about earlier. But usually the longest episode wins, and Tina Fey submitted the finale, the one-hour finale. Amy Poehler submitted the one-hour, two-parter wedding. And that really leaves you with the warm fuzzies. I mean, if any of these episodes, of these submissions of the seven, because there are no six nominees, that what happens is that when you're done watching them all, the one that I think has absolutely the most impact in terms of just making you your heart gush, it's Amy Poehler's Wedding, because it's so delightful. Lena Dunham submitted well. She submitted the episode where she gets high on drugs and goes out carousing on the town, and she gets high on coke. Needy Falco does her usual morbid Nurse Jackie thing. But I'm going out way on a limb here for Laura Dern. And I know this is insane. The show's canceled and all that. But this is I'm going to do it because this is where I think the episodes really matter. Laura Dern's episode is just, it's only half an hour. Some of these others are an hour. And it's just a half an hour of her crying and giving this big, ham-bone, brooding performance in the comedy category, no less. And that worked for Edie Falco a couple years ago. I look at it this way. Actors are judging actors, and they're looking at this. The most pretentious, overwrought acting in this category is Laura Dern, so that's why I think she wins.
Jonathan, what are you thinking? How many times has Tina Fey won before?
Once. In this category, once.
Correct.
Because I'm a big fan of 30 Rock, a big fan of Tina Fey, and the finale is a good episode. Could be one of those goodbye awards. She's won before, but only once, so I'd like to see that. In terms of Julia Louis-Dreyfus, has anyone done anything better than last year? Because she won last year.
Yeah.
So if someone else is going to win, they need to up their game, or she needs to be weaker. And I think she's got probably just as good an episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Amy Poehler has put a better foot forward this year. I do agree she's the one to watch.
Do you think Tina Fey and Amy Poehler sort of split votes? Because they're sort of a similar character, people who like that sense of humour, kind of like both. Do you think they almost work against each other?
They could.
That's a good point.
They could. Mm-hmm. I think with Tina Fey, it's good. It's a great episode for reminding people it's the final, and she's good in it, and I think it was her choice, the right choice. But I don't think there's anything that amazing in it if they're just voting on performance. Whereas I think Amy Poehler, as Tom says, it tugs the heartstrings, it's got the impact. But it's also really funny. Her running that emergency response is really funny. Like, so I think she brings it all, Amy Poehler. I think Julia Louis-Dreyfus has a really great well-rounded take, too. I think if it's down to tapes, it should just be those two fighting it out. And on tapes, I'd slightly give it to Amy Poehler. I think she's got the strongest tape. But I think Julia Louis-Dreyfus is close enough behind that she holds on to it. Laura Dern, Tom, I don't know. Like, I don't, it's like so wet.
Talk me off this ledge. I want to get off the ledge. I shouldn't be picking it, you're right.
Yeah, where, cry. I don't think it got to Australia. I think it got lost somewhere over the Pacific. Okay, here's a parallel, Tom, that I didn't mention in our slugfest for Laura Dern. What are we thinking about maybe, and I know it's a different type of show, but I remember Lisa Kudrow got nominated for The Comeback, and everyone thought she had the best tape. Very good tape, Lisa Kudrow, for The Comeback, but it was also on HBO, and it was cancelled. And she wasn't able to seal the deal. She wasn't able to win it. And she got beaten by Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Interesting.
Is that a fair parallel, Tom?
It is. And by the way, I got Lisa that Emmy nomination that year, and she'll tell you that herself. That was one of those rare years where they had the panels that determine nominees, too. And she submitted a different episode of The Comeback, and I made her pull it back and submit the Jay Leno episode. And so she kind of resisted at first and said, why? And we went back and forth. Finally, she went with it, and she got the nomination. And then, yeah, when we looked at the submissions for acting for the round two, the winner, she certainly had the strongest one and deserved to win. But you're right, that was a big surprise. And I gotta ditch this Laura Dern thing. And here's my problem.
Yeah.
We at Gold Derby, we all used to think that the episodes mattered, number one. And that explained the James Spaders winning and the Margot Martindales winning, because they always had the most theatrically impressive or dynamic episode when you watch them up close. And therefore, the voters were knocked out by them, and they resulted in these classic Emmy surprises. But last year, we all went with what we thought the strongest episodes were, we editors at Gold Derby, and we lost to the to the quote-unquote experts who don't look at the episodes at all. I'm talking about the critics from TV Guide and Entertainment Weekly, all the ones who participate at Gold Derby and think we're crazy for caring about the episodes. So, you know, I'm wondering if I'm leaning too heavily on the whole episode theory now, because that's what's behind my Laura Dern insanity. But in fact, you're right. I think there's just so much love for... You've talked me away out of Laura Dern, but I don't know what I'm talking into here yet.
Yeah, like, I actually don't... I think the tapes are still really important, but, like, they've gotten quite good at submitting. And, like, I think you could... I think you could argue that Laura Dern has the best tape. I think you could argue Amy Poehler has the best tape. I think you could argue Julia Louis-Dreyfus has the best tape. It sort of depends what... You could probably even argue Lena Dunham has the best tape. It
just
really,
anyone but Tina Fey.
Yeah, it really
just, has the longest tape.
It really just depends what you're looking for. Like, does it, like, yeah. You know, like, does Laura Dern or Amy Poehler have a better tape? Depends what you like, really. Like, it's not like...
Depends whether you prefer to laugh or cry.
Yeah, and I prefer to laugh. So, but, yeah, I, like...
I'm going to say Tina Fey is my favourite. Amy Poehler has the best tape, but I'm going to split the middle and go with Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Okay, I'm sticking with Julia, too. I think she's got so much respect. I think she really... I just remember when Tina Fey was winning, like, all those Emmys for 30 Rock. And, like, every now and then she'd, like, throw in a... Like, especially when she went actress. Like, didn't she give a shout-out to Julia Louis-Dreyfus? Like, saying how great, like, she paved the way for women in comedy in the 90s. Like, I don't know. Like, I can't really remember. But, like, I feel like there's a lot of love for Julia. There's a lot of love for Veep. And I think she submitted well. So I'm going to stick with her. But, boy, wouldn't it be nice to see Amy Poehler win, Tom?
It would be, yes. And that's another case of where Gold Derby picked her episodes. Chris Beecham, in this case, noticed that she had planned to submit only part one of the wedding episode, or part two, and he alerted her camp that, you're by the rules allowed to submit both. So they did submit both, and there are plans to thank our friend Chris Beecham by Amy if she wins.
Well, okay. So there we go.
I don't think she's going to do it at the podium, but I think the plan is she will thank Chris backstage when she gets to the press room. So Marcus and I will be back there. Yep. We can cheer her on.
Oh, very good. We'll be interested to see how many episodes of Parks and Rec next season have a to-be-continued slide at the end of the episode.
They're smart.
Yeah, they take that and run with it. Let's go to drama actor, another very competitive race. We've got Hugh Bonneville from Downton Abbey, Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad, Jeff Daniels from The Newsroom, Jon Hamm from Mad Men, Damian Lewis from Homeland, and Kevin Spacey from House of Cards. No snubs, one could argue.
Steve Buscemi could feel a little bit hard done by. As a Boardwalk fan,
yeah.
I guess I would consider that. I would definitely replace Hugh Bonneville with Steve Buscemi, but still a strong category.
I'm definitely baiting you there.
Yeah, I don't know where to look.
Well, Tom, where should Jonathan be looking?
Well, forget Hugh Bonneville. Yes. He has no emotion at all. You know, forget Jon Hamm. He did submit well. He submitted the finale where he goes soul-searching and takes his children back to the whorehouse where he was raised after he's put on leave from the agency. It's very, very...
Just to look at it. Just to look at the whorehouse.
Yeah.
So he didn't take his to the whorehouse for anything else.
That's right. Well. That's funny. Jeff Daniels has a remote chance of winning because he has the pilot episode of The Newsroom that includes this big Sorkin soliloquy speech that often results in Emmy wins. But I think this is really between Damian Lewis and Bryan Cranston and Kevin Spacey. Spacey's the double Oscar winner in the TV show House of Cards that looks like The West Wing. But yet his Southern accent is so fake and phony. And he does that kind of talking to the camera thing that's jarring. It takes some getting used to. And he doesn't really show much emotion at all in the pilot. I think this is... I toss him out and say this is between Damian Lewis and Cranston. And here's where I get conflicted, because last year I thought Cranston had the more dynamic episode. And he's screaming and yelling a lot last year. Damian Lewis beat him with the 90-minute episode of Homeland, where he basically has just one scene where he cries when his daughter calls him, and he decides not to kill the vice president after all. and himself because he was going to detonate a bomb. But this year, with the Q&A episode that Damian Lewis submitted, it's a one-hour dramatic showcase for him. He's all over the place and crying and loving and, oh my gosh. But Entertainment Weekly was telling me the other day that they were actually talking to voters in this category, and they were encountering a huge Bryan Cranston love fest going on. So we have to decide how much is this of these farewell episodes of Breaking Bad that are airing right now are affecting voters. And I'm sure that it's in a huge way. Cranston's episode's fine. It's called Say My Name. He's out in the desert there, facing off against these other drug lords. And he's got two or three good scenes, and there's one very good scene with Aaron Paul where he basically says, you know, you've got to stay cooking this meth with me because you have to be good at something in life. And he exults in the whole fact that they are maestro chefs of or gourmet chefs of meth cooking. So I could see Cranston winning, and I want to switch over to him, but I don't have the nerve to ditch Damian Lewis, so I'm going with him.
Yeah, Damian Lewis is very, very good in his tape. It's really interesting because I think, like, if they go with tapes, it would be Damian Lewis or Jeff Daniels. Like, Jeff Daniels has the big speech, and Damian Lewis has the real emotional powerhouse episode. It was interesting reminding me of last year's tape that Damian Lewis was able to upset win with because he was so sympathetic in that. That must be the most sympathetic thing I've ever seen, where he's sympathetic for deciding not to be a terrorist. The decision he made was a tough one. Let's not blow up, like, this room full of people. And I think if they don't go with tapes, though, there's the Bryan Cranston, who, like, all these actors are good. Like, I'm not saying, like, people have bad episodes, but Bryan Cranston because Breaking Bad's so cool right now, or Kevin Spacey because he's Kevin Spacey, right? Like, if Kevin Spacey wasn't Kevin Spacey and Bryan Cranston wasn't on Breaking Bad, we wouldn't be talking about them winning this.
No.
How often has, or how many times has someone won, or won repeatedly, to lose and then come back? Can Bryan Cranston actually come back, or has he just sort of had his time now?
Oh yeah, it happens all the time. Like Dennis Franz would lose for a year or two and then come back in the same category for NYPD Blue. Sure. Levine would win one time.
Yeah.
He wasn't even nominated one year, and then he came back. Yeah.
I would argue, Tom, maybe that this is much more common in acting races than in series races. I think when you've lost a series race after winning a couple, it's hard to come back. But I think acting, it's more, because I guess it is more based on episodes that year and things like that.
My thinking with Bryan Cranston is that this episode is not as good as last year's, and Damian Lewis is perhaps even better. So I can't really see why he would beat Damian Lewis unless it's just a Breaking Bad buzz factor.
Yeah, because Breaking Bad is stronger and Homeland is weaker. Like, I guess that's the argument. Not very performance-based, but it's there. Yeah, and this is interesting. He's won three times. He's only ever lost once. But the last time he won was like 3 years ago. Because last year Damian Lewis won. The year before Breaking Bad had a year off. And the year before that's when he won. So people might not remember he's won as many as he has. Right?
Absolutely.
Mm. So
I think people like Kevin Spacey, but I don't think they like his character in House of Cards. I'd be surprised if he... Because he's not very likable. As Tom said, it can be a bit cheesy. It's a bit jarring. I don't think Tom used the word cheesy, but whatever.
Cheesy's good.
I don't know. I'm tempted to go with Jeff Daniels, actually. Because that can be a bit of a polarizing show. That can be cheesy. That can be smug. It can be self-important. But there's something just lovable about it. And I think this might be the type of thing that would appeal to the voters, especially because he has that huge speech in the pilot. I think I'm gonna go with Jeff Daniels.
Daniels to pull a spader.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. I'm gonna stick with Lewis. I see what you're saying about Cranston, and yeah, but what do Entertainment Weekly know? They've probably been talking to the wrong people.
Well, you know what? Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that because I won't say what reporter was giving me this information, what editor actually, in-house staff person, but this person was telling me that Their information was all wrong. They were talking to some, like a voter for drama writing, and asking them about drama acting. Well, you know that the way the Emmys work, that if you're right, if you're a member of the writing peer group, you're not voting for best actor. You're either voting for a program and then your own peer group, and that's the way it works. Somebody who's voting for acting does not get to vote for directing or the rest of it. So the way that EW is conducting the survey, it seemed to me that they were kind of ignorant with the way the Emmys work. So they were probably talking to somebody who was a voter for drama writing and asking them about the nominees for lead actress, and that person was spouting things off, when in fact, the writers and directors think differently than the actors. So I'm not sure I trust the EW.
It's even more complicated than that, because it's not even enough to go and ask, are you in the actors branch? Because not all the actors vote, because you've got to agree to watch those tapes, and you could only vote in two acting categories if you're an actor. So it's not even all the actors who are voting for the Emmy winners are voting in this category. So you need to be quite specific with the questions you ask them. Are you on this particular panel? Are you getting the lead actor tape? So you've got to really know.
They're not asking that. You're right. EW's not asking that. So, by the way, what Matt's talking about is you can vote it in up to four categories,
yes,
but as Matt pointed out, you're only allowed two in your peer group and then two program.
Which is why the Emmys are so hard to predict, because I can very well say, oh, 4 or 5 years ago, Lisa Kudrow was nominated for a cancelled HBO show, and she wasn't able to win. Laura Dern can't this year. But we've got completely different people voting on both of those categories.
Absolutely.
So,
By the way, I just changed my prediction to Julie Louis-Dreyfus. You guys talked me into it.
Oh, no.
I just tipped Laura Dern. And God help you, if Laura Dern wins, I'm getting out of the first flight over there beating the holy shit out of both of you.
Maybe
you might miss me, Tom.
You'll be here in Los Angeles. I'll seek you out.
Oh, my. You've still got a week to change back, Tom, or 2 weeks to change back. So,
And you've given me somebody to blame, you guys.
Yeah, I'm trying to Pontius Pilate myself of this one and wash my hands of this. So let's go to the series races. Let's start off with comedy series, because we're probably less interested in that. Here are the nominees for comedy series. Get ready to laugh, Jonathan. The Big Bang Theory, Girls, Louie, Modern Family, 30 Rock, and Veep.
Now, Matt, Arrested Development is the greatest comedy show of all time. Is this season of Arrested Development the greatest comedy of all show of all time? Or season of all time? Probably not. But it's still probably the best of the year. Where is Arrested Development?
Yeah, what happened to Arrested Development, Tom?
Netflix screwed it up. They didn't debut the show till the very end of May, which was the end of the voting period. They didn't have a chance to watch it at the Emmys. They did distribute the DVDs like 2 weeks earlier, but at that point, the Emmy voters, tables are stacked at home with DVDs mailed to them by everybody. So Netflix just blew it in terms of the campaigning. Now, for House of Cards, debuted that in April. They got the DVDs out early, so they have two shows in contention, House of Cards and Arrested Development. One did very well with Emmy nominations and one did not. One was released with sufficient time to be seen and one was not. So I think that explains it quite obviously.
Can I also say, Netflix sent me a very nice DVD box of House of Cards. When I got that in the mail, I was very pleased. I didn't get anything from them on Arrested Development. Now, I'm not complaining. This isn't a complaint to Netflix. There's probably more important people than me to be sending things to. But that did send me a message. They were putting a bit more effort. If they're even going to send me a House of Cards DVD, then that's probably suggesting that they're putting a bit more effort into that campaign. Right, Tom?
That's funny.
And I think I got the whole season of House of Cards. Apparently the DVDs they sent out of Arrested Development were just the first 5 episodes.
Yes,
and they weren't the best episodes of the season either. So So I think they should have sent out the whole season on DVD. I know they also sent out memberships so you could subscribe to Netflix, but I'm sure Academy members have no idea how stuff like that works. Like, they just put it all on DVD for them. Like, so they could, yeah, so... Yeah, maybe they stuffed it up. I also think it's probably fair to say the critics did not receive this season of Arrested Development as well. We've talked enough about the criminal snub in this category, because regardless of whether you think Arrested Development didn't have its best year, I'd say there's about at least four or five shows I would bump for Arrested Development from this crop. Jonathan, what about the shows that nominated? What are you thinking about them?
My favourites are 30 Rock and Veep. Veep has the Julia Louis-Dreyfus factor, and I think perhaps season two has a little bit more buzz than season one did, so I think it's perhaps more a factor in the series race. 30 Rock, they've kind of gone off 30 Rock. It keeps on getting nominated, but it hasn't won anything in a long time, I don't think. Last season, pretty decent season, better than last year, but I'm not sure whether that's going to be enough to get it the nod. Louis, could it be all Louis this year? Are the Emmys just going to stack everything on Louis? Give him actor, give him series. I don't want it to. I'd much prefer to see Veep win, but I think Louis's a pretty strong contender.
Mm. Tom, what do you think?
Well, the question you have to start out asking here is, do you believe that Modern Family fatigue has set in or not? It's won three times in a row, and only a handful of shows have gone four times to win this award. All in the Family did, The Dick Van Dyke Show, and Cheers, but that's, and Frasier, those four shows. Frasier won five times. So you're asking if Modern Family can do something that has rarely happened in TV history. The answer is yes, it can, because it doesn't have a strong contender, but you can also say that it's the one thing that you can always count on with the Emmys is snob appeal and elitism. The fact that Frasier is the biggest winner in Emmy history, it's about two snobbish brothers, tells you a lot. And everybody in the Modern Family world has iPads and dress well and drive nice cars. And believe it or not, that's how Emmy voters think. But Veep, what Jonathan was just mentioning about Veep is I find intriguing, because it is, you know, very elitist too. It's about the White House, or at least the Vice Presidential office. It stars Emmy royalty. They like it. It's not nominated for both writing and directing, or either or. It's missing either one of those nominations, as is Big Bang Theory. And only one TV show in the past 15 years has won Best Series here without being nominated for either writing or directing. In other words, it was a show that was shut out of both. And that was Friends. So if you look at this category, you think, all right, Veep and Big Bang Theory, not nominated for writing or directing, throw them out. 30 Rock. And I'm not saying you really have to, but that's how you might quickly diagnose this category. 30 Rock, yeah, it's nominated for writing, directing, and everything across the board. But as Jonathan just mentioned, it hasn't won in years. In fact, it's lost the last 40 Emmy races. So how can you possibly, without winning a single one, how do you possibly make an excuse now that it's suddenly going to win the biggest one of all?
It's due.
It's, oh, horseshit. So forget that. Girls, they're just not watching at all. I mean, it's not. It's a great show. I think it's really good. But basically, they vote for who they want to bang. And while they voted for the Sex and the City girls because they wanted to snag those gals, I don't think anyone's lusting after Lena Dunham. So, except the occasional dyke. But here's the and Adam Driver. He's drunk.
This is a family podcast show.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Well,
you can edit it
out.
I think it's down to Modern Family and Louis. And I'm going on the Louis limb here because it is nominated for writing and it's got some crafts nominations and acting and all of this. I'm just, you know, on a lark. The question is, I think the Modern Family fatigue is set in, that there's evidence. There are two strong pieces of evidence that suggest it's there. Eric Stone Street was not nominated. He won for the past couple of years as best supporting drama comedy actor. And that tells you he's not nominated because they're saying enough already in their minds. And if they're saying enough already about Modern Family in one category, I think it could mean that they're about to say it in another. Also, the show's not nominated for writing, which is fascinating. It's a show that was considered the best written show on TV. So that snub is telling. So all said, I'm going out on a limb for Louis, but I think that an upset is also possible for Veep. And your safe money is Modern Family. What do you guys think?
Well, just on a few things that you mentioned. Girls, like, we're not a huge fan. It's Amazing Girls was so... When episodes were airing, I thought, Girls is going to be a contender to win this. So many people are talking about it. No one's watching it, but everyone's talking about this show. Now it seems like Buzz is completely dead for Girls. I think that, like, I think if the Emmys were 6 months ago, Girls would be looking a lot better than it would now. I don't know, like, the voters wanting to bang the people. Like, I feel like at least three of the four girls are pretty bangable, right? I don't know. I feel like Girls, a lot of people say, like, oh, it's real Girls. This is, like, not your glamorous TV sort of... But it's just one, really, that doesn't fit the mold. Like, everyone else on the show is ridiculously attractive. Right? Like, so, I guess Hollywood, moving forward in small steps towards...
a quarter of the cast at a time.
Yeah. Louis, I don't think Modern Family fatigue has set in at the rate I would have wanted it to. I think it's definitely hit me more than the Academy. But maybe it's crept in enough for someone as cool as Louis to crash the party. So I'm going with Louis as well. Jonathan, what are you thinking?
I think I might actually go with Louis for a couple of reasons. I think Modern Family fatigue is setting in a little bit. I think it's not to the point where it's just dropped out. It's clearly still very popular, but I think it's enough where someone could steal it. Louis, I think, does have the buzz. It's for a show that I don't completely click with, and just that style, I thought it would come... And just because of its sort of, you know, unique style or whatever, it would have that buzz for a year. But it's actually picked up even more this year.
Mm.
So that's what's making me think Louis is so strong. And looking at the episode submissions, even though I didn't love the season, those are all the best episodes of the season. So I think Louis has submitted well.
Mm.
So if someone is going to upset Modern Family, I think it's going to be Louis. So that's who I'm going to go with.
Yeah. Now, for mine with this category, when I was thinking before the nominees come out, I thought the best crop of nominees they could have for this race is just Veep versus Arrested Development. they don't even need to bother with the other four shows. So if I was voting, Veep would definitely be who I would vote for.
Yeah.
But I think Louis got it. Any more comments on that, Tom?
No, I'm impressed, by the way, to see all this love for Louis in the home stretch, because remember, I was out alone early this Emmy season predicting this, and I just got very nervous. And I don't know if I've talked all of you into it or you... You're late to the party of seeing Jesus here, but at least I won't be wrong alone.
I'm just hoping Modern Family doesn't win.
That's what's behind I don't even like Louis. I don't get Louis. I don't understand. But I did like some of the episodes this year. But yeah, I think I'm so sick of Modern Family winning. It's like, God.
And it's the Frasier team. Did Modern Family, right?
Yeah.
What's the deal with these guys? Make new shows and win like a ridiculous number of Emmys for them. Okay, let's go to the last race. And I actually think I would argue this is the best race at the Emmys. This is your best crop of nominees. Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, Homeland, House of Cards, Mad Men, and Downton Abbey. in Best Drama Series... Tom, what are your initial thoughts on this crop?
Well, forget Downton Abbey as your chuckle adequately described its chances. Mad Men, of course, fell off the wagon last year, so it's gone. If you believe that this is really a four-way race between Breaking Bad, Homeland, House of Cards, and Game of Thrones, and that the vote could split that way, then you could make a case for Game of Thrones for beating the odds and being that rare genre show that actually... sneaks in. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's between the other three, House of Cards, Homeland, and Breaking Bad. And a compelling case can be made for any one of them, really. House of Cards looks like the West Wing, which won here four times. It's about anti-heroes instead of heroes. Homeland won last year. And this was the pattern that Matt was referring to earlier, which is in series, and we're not talking about acting here. You often see these consecutive wins and then a show stops and doesn't win again. And we're talking only about the voting patterns since the year 2000, which is when at-home voting came in. Everything before that, you just discount because it was actually a different voting process. So under the new voting, current voting process, which is at-home voting, they're supposed to watch the episodes, but we don't know whether they really do or not. They sign an affidavit. In the case of series, they're supposed to watch two submitted to them by each nominee. But come on, they're not watching 12 episodes and then deciding what to vote for here. I think buzz, popularity, and all that matter here in a way that they don't in those lower categories. And that said, Breaking Bad is the show that's new episodes on during the voting period, which it also had last year, but what was and what it lost to Homeland. But what's significant this year is it's the farewell, and everybody's talking about it, and it's very gripping, and it's all about Breaking Bad right now. But Homeland, you know, if it won last year, it feels important. It's about, you know, the NSA stuff and espionage and terrorists and all that stuff. It could win again because it feels so important, and it could be the consecutive voting thing. But remember, one of the few exceptions to the consecutive voting since the year 2000 was 24, a show very similar to this, and it won just 1 year and then vanished after that. So I don't know. That all that said, I'm going for Breaking Bad.
To be fair, 24 won for season 5, and season 6 was horrible.
Like, that wasn't even nominated.
Yeah,
right?
That was the worst season of 24. Like,
I watched 6 seasons of 24, and season 6 was so bad I never watched it again.
Really?
I was pretty invested at that point, having watched 6 seasons, and then I didn't even finish the show.
The second half of season 8's pretty good. Here's the thing, you were talking a bit about tapes and they're not going to watch 12 episodes, Tom. And I know you don't put heaps of stock in tapes for series race, but would your advice be to shows when they get nominated, make sure your first episode's good in each tape?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they probably won't watch the second, but they might watch the first.
Correct.
And they might watch the second if you've got a really good cliffhanger at the end of the first, right? Like, if they're hooked. So I think, like, I'm looking at the tapes now, like, so I think Game of Thrones has done well thinking about it. Like, they put their Red Wedding episode as the first episode on the tape.
Oh.
Rather than having to watch 2 episodes before you get to that scene. And Breaking Bad putting their train robbery on the first tape, too. Very good, very good, but savvy moves, Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones. Yeah, this is interesting. Do you think people will remember, like, it aired so long ago, that Homeland Season 2 was not Homeland Season 1? Because I don't think Season 2 is as good, right?
Well, last year, none of us... The biggest mistake we've made at Gold Derby in many a year was just all of us discounting Homeland for Best Drama Series. None of us had it. Mm. And now it seems so logical in retrospect. And that was the argument we made last year. Look, it's old news. Are they even going to remember it? Well, obviously they've remembered it. It swept all the top categories. So I think that's not a valid argument.
Yeah, no, I think it could help them that people don't remember the last couple of episodes of Homeland last season. I'm sure it was their strongest outing. Yeah, what do you think, Jonathan? What do you think about these contenders?
Well, before the Emmy nominations came out, I said to myself, all I care about is Arrested Development and Boardwalk Empire. I think Boardwalk Empire is far and away the best show on TV. It's pretty much been 3 seasons of perfection. I would rival this to The Wire or The Sopranos. I think it's truly one of the greats. I think this is an even worse snub than the Arrested Development snub.
Well.
So sadly, I have to pick between these losers. I like Game of Thrones, but I don't think it's a show that the Academy really likes. And I actually thought this was probably its weakest season. Despite the Red Wedding that got everyone really buzzed, I didn't think the season as a whole was its best. So I think it's between... I think House of Cards... I don't know. I think that's a touch overrated. It kind of has a bit of a cool appeal, but I don't think anyone thinks the show is really that great. I think it is going to be between Breaking Bad and Homeland.
Yes.
Homeland beat it last year. I don't know if this season of Breaking Bad was that much better, because it kind of felt like half a season.
Yeah.
In terms of the individual episodes, you do have some good episodes. So if it comes down to the tapes, that could help it. But I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be enough. I think just Homeland has the momentum.
Okay. I think Breaking Bad is going to win big on it. Like, I think that the momentum is built. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's excited. I think it's going to topple Homeland. But boy, Homeland, like, it won last year. It's hard to back against those the carryover champs.
It was the same last year with Breaking Bad. They were like, Breaking Bad, you know, new episodes out, it's got the buzz, and then Homeland beat it.
Yeah, but, like, it's even more this year. It's even more. I'm doubling down on my Breaking Bad prediction.
Yeah, but here's what's dangerous about the Breaking Bad predictions. It's not elitist. These people are meth cookers. It's not, you know, that kind of snob appeal. But I think we're wagering on the fact that it has a different kind of snob appeal. Mm. It's not like the West Wing where they live in the, you know, the White House and all of that. The snob appeal is the cachet of who's watching it, who's talking about it. And that's the whole cool set in Hollywood right now. And I watched the first couple seasons of Breaking Bad, then I fell away from it. Found it fairly repetitive. And this home stretch, now I'm really watching it and I'm absorbed. Yeah. And absolutely, you know, wowed by it. I think that it's taking fantastic chances with the plot that make it make every single episode a real thrill to watch. So it's won me over, won me back.
And I think, like, it taps into a bit of a snob appeal. Like, the way Breaking Bad is shot is really pretentious. Like, it's like you've got these big shots of the desert and, like, a close-up on, like, some little thing that you don't find out what it is till the end of the episode and stuff. Like, I think that's sort of pretentious, and it's sort of like a modern-day Western, a callback to those sort of old movies. Like, I think it does tap into some snob appeal from a sort of cinematic level. And I love the show. I'm not being critical of that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going with Breaking Bad.
I would vote Breaking Bad, but I'm predicting Homeland.
Okay. Well, I'm predicting Breaking Bad. I think that's hopefully gonna take out the Emmy this year. Tom, you are in LA. You are sort of amongst... You're obviously talking to Entertainment Weekly types. You're sort of in with the entertainment journalist community. If Louis and Breaking Bad do very well at the Emmys this year, what's the response going to be like on that front?
There'll be jubilation across Loopy Town. I mean, it will be... The Emmys do not have a reputation for being cool. Sometimes they get it right, like Arrested Development, pull off a surprise for comedy series. But in general, it's fairly predictable, but respectable wins.
Mm.
I think that if the... you know, the cognoscenti, the media elite of California, get both cool shows in there, they'll be thrilled. It'll be a great day for the Emmys.
Mm. Yeah, can I say critics are very critical of the Emmys? I think the Emmys' history will look back on quite well, because I think often you see the Golden Globes chasing the tail of the critics, and you get some sort of, like, bizarre, like, some winners that don't hold up well with history. I think you look at drama series at the Emmys, and the voters may have been critical of who the Emmys were awarding, being repetitive, being old. But when you look back at that canon, you've got The Practice, The Sopranos, The West Wing, 24, Lost, Homeland, and Mad Men being the only seven shows to win. That's a pretty impressive list of drama series. Like, there's no embarrassing choices there. So I actually think the Emmys do a good job that history will look back on kindly.
Mm. Yes, I agree.
Mm. Rather than, you know, with the Globes, you've got, like, you know, you've got a Grey's Anatomy over there. You've got, you know, shows that might not be really the talk of the town 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
10 years from now, I'll probably still be whinging about Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah. So anyway... So there we go. We've talked Emmys. We've gone through a ridiculous number of categories. I guess, do we have any final thoughts on the Emmys, Jonathan?
I didn't actually watch the MTV VMAs, and that podcast did well. Is that setting a precedent? If I don't watch the Emmys, will the podcast actually do better?
Possibly. What do you think, Tom? What's your final thoughts on the Emmys?
Should I watch the Emmys, Tom?
Only if Miley Cyrus starts twerking, then you'll be fine.
Yeah, they can get her for the Emmys.
And I am sure that one of the comedy skits is going to be a Miley Cyrus ripoff, probably Neil Patrick Harris in that skimpy
oh my.
Two-piece bathing suit type thing, that bodysuit. That...
Maybe Maggie Smith will finally come to the Emmys. She usually doesn't
arrive in pasties, and oh god!
I hear she's got a lot of buzz, and she's the cool choice.
She hasn't sobered up in years. Yeah. That's why they can't get her out of Britain. Just a long trip for an old lady. Luke over there on her cooking shoot.
Yeah. Oh, well. I don't really have any final thoughts. Hopefully it's a big night for Breaking Bad. Thanks so much for joining us, Tom, and talking Emmys with us again. I love talking the Emmys and the Oscars with you on Screen Verdict. It's a lot of fun. And for people listening to this podcast, you can like Screen Verdict on Facebook, facebook.com/Screen Verdict. You can download our podcast on iTunes. And we've got some great podcasts where we review. We've got some great podcasts where we review shows like Louis, shows like Girls, show like Game of Thrones, all the shows we've been talking about now. So you can listen to our reviews of those shows to hear our more in-depth analysis at Screen Verdict on iTunes and Facebook.
So listen to the Boardwalk podcast.
Yeah, listen to our Boardwalk Empire podcast. So thanks for listening, guys, and thanks for joining us, Tom.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, this is a podcast.
And thanks to everyone else for listening to the podcast.
Yeah, why not? It was great.
Maybe check out the Emmys, or at least check out the next Screen Verdict podcast, or a Screen Verdict podcast in a couple of weeks where we break down what happened, probably in housekeeping.
Yes, we'll definitely break down the Emmys. That was so bad. That was such a bad... I had no idea what to say. I'm going to get my bag.
So see you next week.
Yes.
Goodbye.